Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Thang.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4-7 Thang podcast. This episode contains escape strategies, Franken dogs, angry farmers, fish attacks, and Gordon's sausage hole. Which I think is a great name for his show.
Or his band.
Yeah, no, just a show, Gav, a podcast every weekend. Hello, I'm Gordon Smart. Welcome to my sausage hole. Seriously. This is my sausage hole.
I think it works. That's really good. It trips off the tongue nicely. Yeah.
And you can talk about like snacks and riders with the stars.
And sauces. Yes. Mustards and ketchups.
Yeah. Condiments.
Gravies.
Yeah, condimental. Good name for a band.
It is.
Very good name for like a really sort of 80s throwback.
Yeah.
You're a bit saucy. Have you heard Sauce by Condimental?
Yeah, they all used to be chefs.
No, they all used to wait tables.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Radio X. So last night, me and the 4-7 Thang gang, namely Sunta and Gav.
Yeah.
Not the size.
The size weren't there. They weren't there.
No.
They weren't there.
We had a bit of a rock and roll night.
We had a rock and roll night. We went off to the National Portrait Gallery because Led Zeppelin were doing a book on Led Zeppelin.
Photography, wasn't it?
By Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Why was it by them?
Because they'd personally chosen the pictures that went in the book.
Oh, right, that's it, is it?
Didn't take the pictures.
That gets your writing credit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but it was very posh. And I wish I could nick the Led Zepp carpet there.
It was posh and roll, wasn't it?
It was posh and roll, it really was.
Yeah.
And then we milled around for a bit. And they're good cocktails, nice cocktails.
Yeah.
I managed to get a couple of Led Zeppelin napkins.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I found mine this morning. They're really well made.
Can I just say something? Yeah, with Led Zeppelin gold on a black napkin.
Embossed napkin.
Yeah, I'm really gutted because I got a couple of them, but I went out.
You didn't blow your nose in it, did you?
No. It's going to sound really rough, really weird. But I went out yesterday. On my way to the show, on the way to the tube, I passed these really good conker trees and I collected up some conkers because they look so shiny. And I just can't stop. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have one conker tree in our school, and believe me.
So you made the most of it.
If you saw a conker, you got it, because now I mean, you're in the game. You're now fighting.
Yeah.
And so every time I do see some nice conkers, the first conkers of these, I always collect them up.
Yeah.
I put them in my pocket. But I forgot how conkers turn a bit mouldy in the night. Just watch out for your conkers if you put them in your anorak. Because I put my conkers in my anorak.
Well, you didn't put them on the windowsill with vinegar on them.
No, I didn't. I just put them in my anorak pocket, went off to that. So this morning, it's a rare thing. I never thought I'd be saying this, but this morning my Led Zepp napkins are covered in conker
juice. Oh, that's a shame.
Conker dust.
No, it's sort of that white mouldy stuff that comes out of conkers.
Yeah, wash your hands. That stuff's dangerous.
Yeah, I once went down to my granny's and she had some good conker trees. So I was thinking I'm going to really get in the game this year.
Yeah.
So I went to my granny's and I collected up a whole box.
Like whole stable of them.
No, a biscuit tin full of them.
Right.
And I must have just only kept them in there for 4 days. I opened them up and there's smell of mould. There's mould in there. My mum's like, what are you doing? I go, no, I can sell these at school. She's like, no, you can't. Anyway. What do you mean? I can sell them, Ma. I said, sod off, Ma. Lend us a fiver.
Anyway,
the point is...
You had a little chat with your mate, Jimmy.
I had a chat with Jimmy. It was really nice, actually. He gave me a hug on the way out. I just said, Jim, I can't stay. I've got to go, mate.
I love that. I had to go.
Jimmy. Well, I had to go for Jeff, didn't I? The dog. And so Jim went, all right, John, yeah, they've shut our restaurant. Which is the only place I used to see him at, this one little, it's not a posh place. It's just a place you get a decent steak. Although he always goes for an avocado-based starter.
He's old school. Yeah.
Really old school. Oh, he likes a bit of prawn around his avocados. No, about it. He's 70s. We were laughing about it. But, you know, he gave me a hug and stuff.
Aww.
I don't say it's a big deal, but it's nice to, you know.
I didn't get a hug. And I didn't get a gift bag either.
I know, you got
it. Okay, what's the deal with the gift bag? How can we get the gift bag?
Well, I can ask, but you didn't stay. You have to stay for
They
a
don't
gift
know
bag.
That.
Do you know what I've just discovered, though? If ever you do want to engage rock legends in conversation, because straight away confided in me, the guy who got rid of this restaurant, it's all because of he's had three divorces, so he can't afford it.
Oh, so if you
So as soon as I said to him, no, it's the owners, it's his divorce, straight away the arm was around and go, what happened, mate? I suddenly realised it's something that rock stars really like to talk about.
Yeah.
They love to know
Multiple
how much
costly
people have
divorces.
Lost in divorces. Yeah, that's how you hit it off.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Guys, you know what? This, as you know, 4-7 thing, we're not a show without our motto for the week.
A Monday motto.
Let's find out what our motto for the week is. I can tell you now, it is...
The weekly motto, Centurion, from the Latin language. Truly, this man was the Son of God. All Romans should know this stuff. Whither must you go, Centurion? In sooth. Cast your eyes into the water of the gods.
O brave warrior.
For you are a brave warrior. Cast your eyes into the waters of the gods.
The bravest warrior in all of Crete.
In all of Cretia.
What is it? Come on.
This man is from Nazareth. Bid him go to the dungeon. I cast my hand across the waters to find a motto to guide the people. Well, don't hang around about it. Get a motto for them. They'll need leading, Caesar.
Out of the bondage of Galilee.
In the southern state of...
The people need a motto, Caesar! The people need a motto!
I'll give them a motto.
I'll give them a motto to remember. The motto for this week, citizens of the 4 till 7. Rupto! Rubore! Naughty! His words are strange. What can they mean, Centurion? They mean, sire, we are born in a weak condition. Rupto, rubore, naughty.
Well, there we go.
That's our motto. So
that's our motto for
we are born in a weak condition.
We are born in a weak condition.
That courtesy of the Aikenhead clan.
Yeah, thanks for
the clan motto. How is that in the week? How is that going to apply to my week?
I don't know, since we were born in a weak condition.
Radio X.
Woo! This is Radio X. Okay, here it is. Are you ready? I need a drum roll here, Si, because this is just really good. This is the it's the image of the... Let me just...
This is a headline you said was... was this the best headline
you've
seen?
This is the story of the day, image of the week, headline of the year. Mm. Are you ready?
Woman attacked by flying mackerel.
What? Hang on.
Just, I told you. Worth Whoa. Waiting for. That's in the Times today.
Don't tell me anything else.
I don't need to.
Is flying mackerel a band?
Would you like to take a guess? Where and what country could something like that possibly happen in, Gavin?
Was it
flying
was
mackerel?
Yeah.
Mm. Holy moly.
Yeah. Australian woman. You can understand why Australia has... the strongest radio on earth, because they serve up stories like this every day. Oh, there's always something quite story. Unusual, and it's too much for telly to get involved, but it's just right for radio.
Little tidbits of information.
Just little tidbits. What happened there, mate? Means they get them on the phone. But anyway, an Australian woman survived an attack by a flying mackerel.
A flying mackerel?
Yes. It launched itself from the sea.
What, so it was personal?
Yes. Belinda Bingham, mate. I'm afraid it's not a good name, like a real good name, like Narelle.
Or Nylene.
Yeah, Nylene. Yeah, I think Narelle slightly outpunches Nylene.
But it's great.
But it's not a one-upmanship game here.
No.
She was watching her husband, Neil, fish. Near a boat ramp. Yeah, what a great afternoon she must have been having.
Yeah, really enjoying that.
I'm not saying he's probably an old unreconstructed. What do you mean, love? You can watch me fish for the day.
Yeah.
It's a treat.
You don't have to do any of the baiting.
And you'll bloody enjoy it. Anyway, she was watching her husband, Neil, fish near a boat ramp. This is about 30 miles from Darwin. Which is one of the hottest places on earth with the most flies.
So she's really hot, covered in flies, watching her husband fish.
Wow. Well,
his name is Neil Fish.
Yes.
But that's not a good afternoon.
That's not a good afternoon. It's a terrible afternoon.
I don't even think Neil was enjoying this.
No, but bear in mind as well is that Darwin, there's only one battle they constantly fight in Darwin. I gather from
what is
two
it?
Friends of mine have been there. They are at the forefront of technology to keep beers cooler. So literally, you name it, they've got it there.
They've tested it
there. They invented the double glazed glass with the ice in the middle.
The coldie holders.
Yeah, literally everything. Everything comes from Darwin. That's all they're concerned about.
Excellent.
About keeping beer cold and flies off it.
Right.
And that's it. Anyway, she was injured watching her. She's watching her husband fish. Her husband turned around to see her lying on the floor of the couple's small boat. She's on a tiny boat.
Oh, man.
God. And then she's just thinking, she's bored out of her mind. Suddenly she's got a flying mackerel. Literally, has hit her in the throat. She sliced her throat.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. The 22-pound, metre-long mackerel.
What?
Yeah. Whoops. What? I left that detail
out. Yeah, good point. Yes.
That's,
I mean, well, it's like a baseball bat.
No, it is.
That's going to hurt. It is.
With knives for
it's like
sort
a, it's
of
like a, it's like a baseball fins. Bat with a nail through it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Right. It's like something hooligans hide in skips.
Mackerel come out, you know, six at a time off the coast in England. You know, on a little
listen to this great quote, though. A 22-pound, metre-long mackerel had sprung from the ocean at a height of about 5 foot.
Wow.
Christ alive.
That's a dangerous height.
And left a deep wound. Mrs. Bingham said, yeah, it sure had some momentum. It just knocked me off my feet.
It
had momentum.
Oh, it's massive.
She says, I was putting bait on, so my back was to Belinda. This is what her husband said. He tried to stem the wound with his shirt. I was putting bait on, so my back was toward Belinda. Next thing, she's on the floor going, something's hit me! Something's hit me! I looked up. She had a hand to the throat. You could see the blood coming out through her fingers, pumping.
Oh,
that's awful.
This has become really horrific very quickly.
Yes. No, not really, because Craig, great name here, Gav.
Go on.
Craig Garraway.
Okay.
Which is getting near what we say,
really close.
The ancient modern.
That's right.
Sorry, the modern ancient.
Yeah. The combination.
That will give us names like...
Well, Brett O'Malley.
Yeah, or Brett Mahoney, I know, is your favourite. Yeah. But anyway, he said it could have been a lot worse off. He said, I believe that the paramedics' reports there, it had actually impacted on a number of major vessels within the throat area.
Wow.
Wow, man.
A metre-long mackerel.
But in Australia, they've got metre-long mackerel that can fly.
That's insane.
Jesus. The place is, as Billy Connolly said, that it's fraught with terror. Mm.
It is terrifying, all
a
of it.
A metre-long mackerel that goes for your throat.
Radio X.
Every single day, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, it's Chaz from Chaz and Dave, who passed away.
That's right. Today's hero is Chaz Hodges, born in 1943 in North London and raised in North London. He's famously a Tottenham fan.
Yeah, that's always stood in the way.
Just a little, yeah.
No, it didn't.
So long before Chaz and Dave, he was a session player, much like people like Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck at the time. He played for Joe Meek, who was a famous record producer in Holloway Road. He had his own studio. And he played, it's an unbelievable list, he played the bass long before he was a piano-playing singer.
Yeah.
He played the bass for Jerry Lee Lewis, who he says, who he credits... That's how he decided to take up the piano. He said, I just watched him play from behind on the stage.
Yeah.
And that's what got me into that style of piano.
I never spoke to him about that.
Amazing. So he played with Jerry Lee Lewis, Bill Haley, Gene Vincent. His nickname was Sleepy. He kept falling asleep during recording sessions.
Did he?
He switched to piano in the 70s and saying he just watched Jerry Lee Lewis. And that's how he decided to play like him. He played in a band called Mike Berry and the Outlaws with a man called Richie Blackmore.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the picture. It's
amazing. Hilarious. He even played...
Sunta, did you know that he had this kind of heritage around him, that Chaz was this much... Well, I knew Dave Hodges was the most...
Dave Peacock.
Sorry, Dave Peacock. Peacock was the most fantastic bass guitarist.
Well, they both could play multiple instruments. They could both play mandolins and pianos and ukuleles and basses and guitars.
Let's not talk about the mandolins so much.
He even played one gig on bass with Deep Purple, which is insane when you think about
it. Did he?
Yeah.
What, Chaz?
Yes. He stepped
Chaz
in. Their bass player was ill for the night, and he stepped in and just played. That's what he was brilliant at. That's what they were both brilliant at. They could just play anything. At any time.
But who'd have thunk it, guys?
I know.
They were the both such, you know, we sort of think of them as like, and the vocal thing.
Well, that was later. That was when they invented Rockney, which was deliberate. He said, I didn't want to, I find the quote, he said, I didn't want to speak in an American accent. I said, I'm being false to myself. I should just sing how I speak.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant idea. Before he formed Chaz and Dave, he played on this song. This is him playing on the guitar with Dave Peacock.
Hey,
this is a Labby Siffrey tune called I Got The.
So you're saying
This is Chaz and Dave on bass and guitar.
So Chaz and Dave are on the Eminem tune too.
Yeah. Not just Eminem, Wu-Tang Clan sampled it, so did Jay-Z. Amazing.
And that's Chaz and Dave?
That's right, yeah. It's Chaz and Dave. They moved on to their Rockney style. They even opened for Led Zeppelin in 1979 at Nebworth. Chaz and Dave.
As Chaz and Dave.
Yeah, playing Rockney.
You hitcha when the kids are swinging on the gate. You hitcha when the piper boys are for now alike.
Every time they played, everyone danced, apparently.
Yeah.
No matter how big or small the gig, everyone danced.
How about that? I remember they used to come on the Big Breakfast all the time because Denise and I were obsessed with them, particularly Denise. And I think she sang with them a few times. They even played at her birthday party, but she was Chaz and Dave mad.
Wow.
But once I was doing a thing for a music show I used to do called Naked City, it was in 1994. It was about Chelsea doing an FA Cup final record.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 97.
They did two or three songs for Tottenham. That's right.
Yeah, it was not. So I went to them for advice because I was going to write the Chelsea 1997 one. But we only did it because it got us it gave us a chance to go to have the Ardiles up sound of in the cup for Tottenham, which was just fantastic. But the rule was when Chaz and Dave's minders came up,
right?
They told us. They said, "Listen, I've got to give you a tip here, John. Don't let them go to the pub." And I say, why? Because he says, that's it. They won't come out.
They'll end up having a drink. They'll get playing. People will be dancing.
That's it. They won't come out of the pub. And sure enough, we'd done a bit of film. We say, if you two like to waste it, right, get in the pub. They went to the pub. That was it. We had to stop filming.
It was all over.
It's literally true. They won't come out of a pub once they're in a pub. That's just the way it is.
Jules Holland said they were the best musicians he ever worked with. They could play anything in any style at the drop of a hat.
There we go. And completely underrated in this gentle nation.
R.I.P. Chaz Hodges.
Chaz Hodges. The Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing. We heartily salute you wherever you are, my friend. I hope you're listening. And I loved always doing shows with you. You and Dave were just absolutely fantastic. So I hope you can hear us wherever you are in radio space.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Do you know what? I was listening to Dan O'Connell this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I listened to that tune, Munich, the Editors.
Mm.
Oh, man, I pumped it up.
Did you?
Really? Yeah, I sound a bit odd. Oh, man, I pumped it up. No, really.
You were in the car.
No, I just had a bit of clear stretch of traffic, and it was just really good. The sun was shining.
Were you able to switch lanes and go up a gear?
No, but I was singing. I was really singing along. I suddenly thought, is it really bad? Because I stopped at the lights, have my windows open, and then a jingle for this show came on. They're going to think I'm sort of lunatic. When it's went, Johnny Vaughan. I'm sort of there in the car. Hi, that's me.
That's me, all right.
That's really weird. I had to turn it down really quickly. You know, he listens to, like, I think he must have a whole CD of jingles in that car. Are you ready for this, guys?
Yeah.
Mosquitoes could be tricked to breed into extinction.
Ooh. And do you know how they get?
Yeah, but it strikes me, I don't know. I know they're only mosquitoes. And I know some people would love this.
Yes.
But I think, no, you don't know what I'm going to say yet before you say yes. And if I was you, I'd take that yes back. Say, I take that yes back.
Okay, I'll take the yes back until I have the full information.
Well, it gives females testicles.
Yes.
I take the yes back.
No, I'm still saying yes.
Okay, what? You'd like that involuntarily. You just wake up one morning.
The mosquitoes.
Just say no. Oh, it's all right for the mosquitoes, said the vegan.
Aha, touché.
Politically, I have you snookered, love.
Yeah, okay, you do, but I don't count mosquitoes as.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I really don't.
They're scum, subhuman scum.
They are subhuman. There's no doubt about it, Kev. They are scum. And I'm convinced, you know, I'm already convinced that man's been round this earth a few times. You know that.
Yeah.
Because we've just simply come too fast.
History is repeating itself.
No, considering how little history there is, we've been the same for how many millions of years? Well, yeah. Three and a half, you first start seeing a homonym. Well, homonyms.
Yeah.
You know, about 350,000 maybe for Homo sapiens sapien, which we are.
Yeah.
You sort of think, well, you know, about, 300 years and there's nothing. Well, yeah. There's like the old tapestry from 1,000 years ago. And there's a bit, yeah. There's the Bible. But it's a bit sketchy.
It is. And why so much suddenly at the end?
But I think it's the insects that take us out each time. I think we grow with immunity and that's it.
Yeah.
Scientists said that the work was the most promising example yet of a mosquito gene drive, which spreads catastrophic mutations through a species. Wow. I just worry.
This is dangerous.
This could be sending cane toads to...
Yeah, well, they might not die. They might just go giant.
Yeah, well, they might. How about they bite you and you wake up and yours are reduced?
And we've got mosquito faces.
And there's mosquitoes going around your room with some gnats.
You don't need that.
No, you don't.
Imagine little Si mixed with a mosquito.
Right.
It's quite hard to imagine.
We've seen
because he's halfway there already in a way.
We've seen the fly. You know, we've all seen the fly. You know, I'm just worried. Are you sure you know what you're messing with? These are things that then interact with our blood in doses that, yes, they are minute, Gav, but they're enough to kill someone with malaria.
More than any war ever has.
Yeah. More than any what? A million a year?
Yeah.
This is the first time such a tool has been shown to beat the mosquito's natural defences. Well, it's unfortunate use of the word tool, I can tell you that.
Radio X.
Okay, I've got some foozy news for you.
The only index that measures food spin. Avocado and coconut oil.
They've been in the news many times.
Big spin around them, yeah. You know. Big spin. It started as a craze, so everyone's suddenly excited about avocados, yeah. Particularly hipsters, spreading them on everything. We've had all the guys of how to peel it without, yeah. You know, how to get it with, you know, special tools.
People saying avocado toast instead of avocado on toast.
Yeah, yes. There's been shortages as well.
There's been shortages. The price went up.
The price went up.
Just silly.
Yeah.
I mean, silly amounts. It was like gold at one point.
It was, yeah.
Well, it's a big day today. Avocado and coconut oil are toast.
What?
Yep. 8 products quietly disappeared from supermarket shelves. Manufacturers are quick to jump on the hipster bandwagon, releasing loads and loads of avocado sort of spreads and products and coconut stuff.
Yeah.
Waitrose's rapeseed and coconut oil were also more expensive than their dairy rivals. It's over. I'm delighted to report.
Mm.
We've even had like people like how the correct way to get the stone out of an avocado.
God,
like
yeah, right,
I've seen,
yeah.
I think it was it 20 pages on that in the Mail, Gav?
At least, yeah. I mean, it was only what 1/100th of the paper, but yeah, it was about 18 pages.
I think it was
yeah.
about 400 pages.
It's like
that
a pull-out piece that you could refer
right.
back to.
It was, yeah, it was a pull-out from that pull-out section.
Yes. Yeah, it was that's a pull-out right, in yeah. the pull-out. Yeah, absolutely yeah. right. Well, no, it was a pull-out supplement.
That's right.
And if you took that supplement,
yeah.
within it was a smaller card book.
Yeah.
Paid for, I don't know, by John Lewis or
which Wages. Itself weighed about 0.5 kilo.
Yeah, that was about 50 pages, but it was within that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Research by the consumer trade magazine The Grocer, which I always think would sound better in German.
Das Grosse.
Der Grosse. It'd just be much better, wouldn't it? Has found that at least 8 of the new alternative spreads lasted barely a year.
Really?
Mm. I can just imagine that. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around all those disappointed people as they go, I'm afraid, darling. What is it, Cressida? What is it, Cress? No. Well, you know, you were doing really well in the city and you gave me all that extra bonus money to open up that avocado spread
that
shop.
Startup fund.
with M's.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Oh, no.
Yes. They're not buying it anymore.
Do you know what they did wrong?
What?
They didn't add loads of butter.
No, they didn't. Real butter.
Or salt. Or
tell
sugar.
Me about it. I got a garage load of coconut water festering right through there. What am I going to do with it?
Forklift full.
Oh, yeah.
Pallet of...
I've got a pallet of the bloody stuff here. Of the green muck. Right in there now. What am I going to do with it? Anyway, that's all over. That's it. As does avocado oil spread costs £1.20 for 250 grams. Compared, and this puts it all in perspective, with its own label sunflower spread, which it sold for less than half of that. That's only 95p for 500 grams, Gav.
Wow.
That's the price of avocado oil. Anyway, that rip-off is over.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Guys, I've just looked in the... I was just looking through all the newspapers. I've never... You ever heard of this thing, Dear Deirdre? Dear
no.
Deirdre.
No. Oh, Deirdre.
I think it's an insurance thing or
no,
something.
No, it's not. It's near the finance page. No. How can I explain?
Is it sport?
But no, it's she's a woman and she answers. She's like a... So I guess she's sort of like a...
She's like a help matron.
A sort of matriarch figure, yes.
Right.
Yes, a sort of matron, I suppose, like patron, but...
Yeah.
What she does is people write to her with their
issues.
Yes, but more relationship problems in their personal lives.
Okay, right. She's a problem aunt. She's one of those problem aunts.
Problem aunts.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? Since?
No. I'm new to this.
Well, anyway, she's written a really long reply to this letter, and it just seems to be
Is it a lengthy reply?
Is there someone's written in with a problem?
Yeah, it's a really lengthy.
What, she's you've written, got
no,
other
no, no,
ideas?
No, she's written a really lengthy reply. Yes, I've got other ideas. Look, I'll read you the problem, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
And then I'll do my reply to it.
Okay.
And I just think I could have saved you a bit of time. Dear Deirdre, after 17 years together, my husband said he needed a break for a couple of weeks. He never came back.
Ah. Ah. That ship sailed, my love.
Radio X.
Okay, listen to this. In America, there's a big furore at the moment. Furore, is it Ferrari?
I think so, yeah.
Ferrari.
Yeah.
So until you're the newsreader. Ferrari. Oh, look at you. That is the last time I ever defer to you.
No,
but the way you did it, so... Me. Did you see that, Kevin?
Yeah.
It was hideous.
What?
It was very aggressive.
Oh, what? I didn't know God could suffer such a stain upon his earth as that
reply. Is there a quiz today? Is there a quiz?
There is a quiz a bit later, yeah. I've got a little bit of one for you. It's a top 10, yeah. What, you want to do it now? You want to play, huh? You want
no,
to play,
no,
huh?
No. I'm just getting
I don't mind, because I've got it right here.
I'm just getting warmed up okay. for it.
If you want to do the quiz, I'll do the quiz. Whoa.
What's happening in the Ferrari?
Okay, I'll do the quiz then.
What's the Ferrari?
No, I'll do the Ferrari. The Ferrari is this, is that they bought a load of, in America, yeah, before, I always trying to justify who they are. In America, they have the Lincoln Museum in Illinois. They bought a load of President Lincoln stuff, including the bloody handkerchief
from
the night he was assassinated.
In the theatre, wow.
The bloodstained gloves and the hanky. No, it'll just look like chocolate. He's built a lot of chocolate ice cream while he's watching the thing. But of course it wasn't. It was his claret. Mm. He was shot.
Yeah.
Shot in a
he
box.
Was.
He was.
Yeah.
Shot.
In a theatre box.
Unless he was shot.
He was.
But collectively, they valued it all at 25 million quid. Yeah?
Whoa.
25 million quid. Now, the foundation borrowed a load to make this, to get all the stuff.
Yeah.
It still owes 9.7 million. At the time, they had Lincoln's stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the very tall top hat.
Wow. The very famous hat.
Yeah. At the time, the hat was valued at 6.5 million. Turns out now, they've had the CIA even do forensic analysis on it. It bears none of Lincoln's...
DNA?
No.
You're kidding.
It's a fake.
It could, well, it's not a fake hat. It's a hat.
No.
Whether or not it's, you know, you can't...
He may never have worn it.
Forge a hat.
No.
It's a forged hat.
It's a forged hat.
Is that a real hat or a forged? No, it could be fake. But what they're saying is, well, they said it represents the president to his core. And I'd absolutely agree. He's quite an odd-looking man, Lincoln, if you look at
it. He was a very tall man to be wearing such a tall hat.
Yes, he must have been really, really big, Gav.
And he was a talented wrestler, I believe.
Was he a talented wrestler?
Yeah.
But he's got a very sort of, quite a simian face.
He has. High cheekbones.
Very high cheekbones. Very, sort of one of those little monkey mouths like Daniel Craig's got.
Yes.
he's got a mouth very similar to Daniel Craig.
He has.
Anyway. The point is, it was said to represent the president to his core, that stovepipe hat. Gav, if there was, in years to come, the Museum of Gavin Woods, what would represent the Woodman to the core? What would you have? And they'd say, well, would it be your guitar, your Gibson?
Yeah, it'd probably be my Les Paul. That's the thing I've had for years.
My number one, John.
Yeah.
Would it be your number one guitar?
Yeah, either that or a pair of shell toes. Because I always have
You
them.
Always wear shell toes. Dr. Templeton, what would be yours? Mm. What would you have? What would be your stovepipe hat?
My DMs?
Yeah.
Your DMs.
What about you? What would be yours?
I guess, do you know what? I suppose my rebel flag workout trousers. Because...
God, I'd love to see you wearing those.
Because, you know,
sure.
When I wear those around the house, it means the South will rise again. Just press the button.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Are we ready? Because it's one of my favourite items. Hit it! Right, we're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we've discovered a man who's proud father to four children. He's affectionately known as the Quad Father. Thank you very much. Ishmael, whose name was shortened to Ishi. Meaning his flatmate Paul was then called Scratchy. Genius! And Jeff, who has a friend named in his phone as Genie, Because whenever someone opens a bottle, she miraculously appears. How about that? Sunts?
What?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Gav has another one. This is from Gareth in Loughborough. Thank you so much. Keep them coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Like I say, Gareth in Loughborough's got one for Gav. Thank you very much, Gareth. Go on.
Gareth says, a guy I play football with was so bad, he got nicknamed the Fireman. Because everything he touched went out.
I can imagine. The great thing is, you can imagine the moment it occurred to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Why is it ever you it touch goes out? I'm a fireman.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it.
Done. Nickname for life.
Santa.
Graham in York.
Thank you very much, Graham.
He says, one of the sales reps at work, who shall remain nameless, is called Motorboat. Because he has no sails.
Oh, clapping, clapping. It's just Route 1 and I love it. Where's Motorboat? Oh, it's just genius. Okay, this one is a bit longer than normal, but thank you very much indeed, Alison, for this beauty. Are you ready?
Go on.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. This is long.
I'm looking forward to this story.
That when I was a kid, that was on Listen with Mother.
Yeah.
That was a radio show.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah. Are you sitting comfortably, children? Then I'll begin.
Yeah.
And we always used to make, we used to listen to it at school as well, but we always used to make a huge thing about all getting comfy.
Getting comfy.
Oh, the whole class.
This is before the
internet.
Come
on, Seth, hold down. I was only four. Okay, you ready for this? Over 60 years ago, my dad, now 86, was quite thin and wiry and was having a light-hearted argument with a friend who appeared to wear really thick glasses. You look like an owl, he said to him. Well, you look like a bloody ferret. The friend replied. They then proceeded to name all their friends after the animals they resembled. Dog has black shaggy hair. Grasshopper and his brother Cricket, neither ever kept still. Crane and giraffe, both tall.
Yeah.
Earwig, black, slicked back hair. Where's Earwig? Hedgehog, koala, penguin, raven, badger, weasel, and many more. They're affectionately known and collectively known as the animals. And are still good friends. I love the show from Alison, Junior Ferret. Oh, keep them coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Oh, sit down.
Radio X.
Gordon Smarty, you all right, Smarty?
Good day, Johnny Vaughan. How are you?
Well, you're not too bad. Bit of a disappointment on the golf course today.
Oh no!
You know that? You know the eighth by where we have the sausages. What you call your sausage hole?
Yes, Gordon Sausage Hole. It's a little bit embarrassing.
No, it is.
Great name for a band.
Because Gordon always wants to go in there straight away to get his sausages, so we always call it Gordon Sausage.
It's the only reason I come down there, Johnny.
It's a little hut. They make sausage sandwiches.
Wow.
But anyway, we went down
brown sauce as well.
Yes, he does. No, but it's true. Gordon likes a sausage sandwich with a bit of brown sauce. Called Gordon
Who
Sausage
doesn't?
Hole. Anyway, stop it. The point is, Gordon, they've just put that soil on the greens.
I know.
I was putting uphill, and it just kept rolling. I think, what have I got to do?
Yeah.
I've just got to put it in the hole, and it was just about 20 feet away. It just kept rolling down. It was just getting. I just picked up, Gordon, went for sausage sandwich.
What was your late Scottish friend? What did he used to say to you in a brilliant golf phrase?
No heroics.
No heroics. No heroics, Johnny.
Come on, Johnny. No heroics. Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, you're invited. Invited to play in his game.
I'd
He's
love
got
to.
A game. Yeah. Anyway, we'll have to put it before the Hawaiians. What's on your show tonight?
I always ask people about their worst gigs, so I'm going to have Damon Albarn's worst gig on the show tonight. What's your worst gig, Johnny Vaughan?
Blur.
No, I mean, what's the worst
Blur.
Gig you've performed?
Blur is just appalling.
Oh, no!
So you tell him that. No, they're dreadful.
I meant to ask you about when you've been hosting or like doing a presenting gig.
I once did. I've had too many bad ones. I've had sponsors withdraw their sponsorship. I have.
During the show?
Yeah, yes. No, for the next award, Gav. Yeah, it was a television manufacturer said, no, we're not having him. He's just not taking the mickey out of it. Because I had a list of nominations. It was all these tellies.
Yeah.
And it was just numbers. It was like, the Denny 145X9 for... And I was just... It was just... I'm thinking, we can't... People can't clap that. Ah, the 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 1...
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
She has more than 450,000 homes in England are empty.
Really?
Yeah, that could easily solve Britain's gym crisis.
What?
Yeah, easily.
What gym crisis?
Great name for a singer.
Yeah.
What gym crisis?
Sort of new romantic.
Hey, listen, guys, incidentally, you know the little Lion Man?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, he's about 5'2", yeah, does a lot of steroids, does loads
really
of
broad shoulders.
Bundles of gear.
Yeah.
And he looks like, and he someone told him that I was ragging on his ass on the radio.
Yeah.
About him looking like Sandy Tosvig on, you like, but like.
He's got that haircut. Bloke.
Yeah, he's got the same haircuts. But he does look a bit like Sandy Tosvig.
He does, yeah, yeah. When he's not really angry.
But a much bigger jaw.
Yeah.
If you imagine Sandy Tosvig, but with like David Coulthard's jaw.
Yeah. Now you're seeing.
Now you're looking at yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he's discovered it. So just, you know, don't. If you're a Radio X listener, which you all are out there we go. and you bump into him and you bump into a geezer.
Don't mention it.
Who looks. Yeah. You just sort of think, that's really weird. That
really muscly guy. That looks like Sandy Tosvig,
5 foot yeah. two guy.
Yeah.
With a ridiculous jaw. I won't go up to him and say he looks like, you know, just don't let on that I've done this.
No.
Because he's really, it's all right. He says what happens in the gym stays in the gym. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This is great news for you. I love it when people behave according to type, but exactly how you want them to behave, right? Get this. For half a century, the Young Farmers Annual Convention has been at the heart of the rural social calendar, yeah?
Yeah.
So they go on the rampage.
Ooh.
But unfortunately, there's 6,000 of them, right? But
6,000 young farmers.
Yes, but their annual get-together has now been cancelled.
Why?
Because, Gav, of appalling drunken behaviour. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff here, first of all, they were singing offensive songs in the streets of Blackpool and just kicking passing cars. Ah, who are? Sorry, different one. Who are? Kick the cars! Ah!
I'm always jealous of people who grow up on farms. They get to drive when they're about 11.
Oh, yeah, they all pass the test on their, like, 16th birthday. They're allowed to. They've been driving tractors for years.
For years.
Yes. Yeah. I've often suspected farmers have actually got a secret network of roads uptown Britain. They just can go everywhere
never
by
on
tractor.
The, never on
just
the
on farmland.
I used to live on a farm.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you learn to drive at 11?
A donkey.
A bit older, but I have driven a tractor.
She had a team, of donkeys.
Can you get a licence for that? Can I have a look at your license, man? Says here, you're only licensed to drive a donkey, madam. Are you ready for this? Mm. Video from mobile phones show drunken farmers singing offensive songs in the streets and kicking cars. A report said families were horrified. I just love this. As farmers rampaged through the resort.
It does sound like they're going to have pitchforks.
It yeah, sounds it like an episode
well,
of Partridge.
Get this. One man was seen taking the keys from a car that had become stuck. Another dressed in a pink farming hat. What is a pink?
What's
what
a farming
that?
Hat?
What is a pink farming hat? Who has seen my farming hat? He was dressed in a pink farming hat. He was seen lying in the road.
Oh.
Arr. Ooh-ar. Others climbed on street signs and chanted expletives.
Brilliant. Just as a country girl,
expletives.
I'm kind of
just
proud.
Absolutely mindless.
And then they all drove home.
2 years ago, a woman wearing a Federation T-shirt was filmed climbing onto the bonnet of an ambulance and dancing on its windscreen. Dancing on the windscreen? I mean, what is she, Spider-Woman?
What?
That angles up.
They're slippery.
How'd you dance on a windscreen?
Yeah, without some kind of suckers.
I don't know.
Octopus
yeah.
hands.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe she has. You know, if you believe Partridge.
Good point, yeah, good point.
You're going to get in trouble now.
No.
Don't go down
sure,
that
if I'd known
streets.
This, I'd have joined some kind of young farmers club. It sounds like they have
a right
like laugh.
Right
laugh. It really does. Sorry, we shouldn't. I was just reading other things they were chanting. It's not suitable for this anyway. It's more for the farming community than the Radio X crowd.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not suitable for you lot.
Radio X.
Gwyneth Paltrow has done something sensible.
Really?
I doubt
but
it.
I think it's only in the Times. I don't know why. I think the Times is trying to annoy the Scots at the moment.
Right.
I don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But it's the only reason I could suggest this would appear on the same page.
Right. Go
I'll
on.
I'll tell you. Gwyneth Paltrow likes a glass of whiskey in the bath. Now that is civilised.
That's very civilised.
That's, oh man.
I mean, that's James Bond.
It is. No, but it's normal. It's rational. It's not, doesn't involve stones being placed on her back or suckers or leeches or...
Just a glass of scotch in the bath.
Ah, I didn't say scotch.
Ah, a glass of whiskey.
Right, and here's the dealio.
Okay, it's not sort of Peruvian goat whiskey.
And this is the bit where
is
she's just winding them up a bit.
Okay, go on.
Paltrow's tipple of choice is Japanese whiskey.
No.
What?
Yeah. I like to unwind with one of my bars and a glass of Japanese whiskey. I always like to have a little something. I'm a 7 days a week drinker. I learned that in London. Gwyneth, where what? Have you been hiding this?
What the hell?
You've been coming across as a lunatic for the last Christ knows how long, and suddenly exactly. a shaft of sanity. Seriously, penetrates the gloom.
I thought you were going to say she was rubbing apples on her knees to help her, you know.
Okay, listen. Probiotics. Listen to the distilled sanity flowing through that last statement. Are we ready? I like to unwind with one of my baths and a glass of Japanese whiskey. Okay, the Japanese bit.
It is a bit odd, but yeah.
I always like to have a little something. I'm a 7 days a week drinker. I learnt that in London. And she's a health freak, and she's in one of the other papers with a massive sweat stain just above her butt crack. No, she's wearing grey tracksuit bottoms, and she's wearing those, whatever they're called, the paper bag trousers or whatever they're called. You know, the sort of trousers that are really flared?
Yeah.
I've got the name wrong, I know. It's like once when I was a kid, I was talking about a liver-shaped swimming pool, and my mum started laughing because I meant kidney, yeah. It was like a liver-shaped swimming pool, mum. Her and her sisters laughed hysterically. They laughed at me. Anyway. Yes, a spleen-shaped swimming pool. Anyway, I like to unwind it with one of my bars and a glass of Japanese whiskey. She's a 7 days a week drinker.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, what isn't so good about that is so it's about Paltrow saying, get Japanese with your whiskey, yeah?
Right.
So she's going to make that a new fashionable thing.
Yeah.
Get this. From Bannockburn to Culloden, Hampden to Murrayfield, rival between England and Scotland has been played out on many a battlefield. And any article about
this is on
England,
the same page.
It's on the same page. This is the next door article, right?
Right, go on.
So it says, and I like the way they've even introed the article by already setting up a beef. Are you ready for this? Now the English have opened an audacious new front. Almost two dozen English distilleries have started making whiskey. English whiskey.
And they called it a front. That's what you describe the side of a war, isn't it?
I know, it is,
a new front.
A new, I know. No, Gav, an audacious new front.
Yes.
There's
no tanks
can
there.
Can you say to all journalists, stop stirring up trouble in dividing us, all right?
Please stop that.
You could have eased in that Paltrow one, just put a glass of whiskey.
It doesn't
have to be Japanese.
No. That's right.
And who wants to know about some micro distilleries? I don't.
Don't call it
It'll
a front.
It'll be as crap as that most micro beers.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Great news, Gav.
What?
Well, if you're worried, how old are your kids?
3 and 7.
Okay. Well, if you're ever worried about kids, your kids, like this, my parents worried about this, particularly my dad, about me overpowering them.
Right.
Oh, God, for God's sake. God. It's not funny.
Go on.
Can you imagine having a little, you know, a muscle boy? You know, a muscle bound child, literally. Can you imagine having a hideously overdeveloped, like, 10-year-old like I was? What?
That's a good point, yeah. You were really broad at 10.
Do you know something? It's pathetic. I'm just saying, great news for you.
Go on.
10-year-olds are becoming weaker and more unfit.
Wow, thank God.
Well, no, you don't want. I'm just saying that's great news for a lot of parents.
Yeah, it is.
I just read that. Children are less fit than they were 16 years ago. According to a new study, they found that overweight youngsters are the strongest, fittest, and healthiest in their age group, which I can't really work out. They found out that the overweight youngsters are actually the strongest and fittest amongst them.
That's weird.
Well, they're carrying around a bit of weight, aren't they? That's what's
Yeah, they're used to lugging, they're lifting all the time.
Anyway, mainly though, 10-year-olds are becoming weaker and more unfit, which is great news for parents, right?
It is, yeah.
Radio X.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what?
Do you know how everyone gets very cynical about the trains, and rightly so?
Yeah.
They're disgraceful.
Yeah.
I've never read anything good.
No. I mean, they're always going wrong. Always. Yeah, every day.
The other day, did I tell you they've managed to find one person to blame? It was just fantastic.
Did they?
Yeah, they blamed just... Yes, Grayling.
Oh,
they actually said, they all got together and they all agreed. They sat in a room and they said, no, we just got to blame one guy.
Yeah.
That's it. We'll just blame him, Grayling.
Graham.
Because his name suggests an old school disaster, the Grayling Report.
The Grayling Affair.
Was it? It was never going to be happy, was it?
No, it wasn't.
What did it say in the Grayling Report? Oh, it's all good news, I can assure you. It just wasn't. Anyway, get this, right? So they come up with all these excuses like the wrong type of snow.
Yeah,
the wrong
leaves.
Like there was one leaf on the track.
Yep.
But they're really being mocked for this, but I reckon this is legit.
What are they saying?
Rail companies have been known to make all manner of excuses for delays to services.
Yeah, they have.
You're right to read that with a little smile in your voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, is that a newsreader comment?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try and do it. Rail companies have been known to make all manner of excuses for delays to services. From leaves on the line. This is sort of feature journalism.
Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah.
From leaves on the line to the wrong type of snow. But now trains are being struck by another meteorological menace. Strong sunlight. I went to find out.
Strong sunlight?
Strong sunlight. And I can imagine it. You see the size of the traffic lights they've got on rail lines?
Mm. Yeah.
They're tiny.
They are small.
They're not even
as
big as you get in your car. You think it's
they
a train.
Are, yeah. That's right.
It's a train hurtling along. And there's no amber on them either.
Just
green. It's just dirty red or dirty green.
Or not working.
Or not working, yeah. But yesterday I was driving along and the sun really hit me. This time of year, it is coming at you from some fun.
Yeah, because you get those special traffic lights that have got sort of slats across them to stop it being blotted out by the sun.
Specialist slats.
The slatted
lights. The old Venetian traffic light.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're like sort of polarised.
they're not roller blinds, no, they're Venetian.
The old Venetian traffic light. It'd be nice if you could adjust like that. They were closed. Anyway, the point is the reason perhaps I'm a little bit, I'm trying to be fair on the train drivers. I used exactly this excuse yesterday when I was late for work.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because I had to drive back from the golf course and the sun was really shining. I said to Big Silent Fella, I said, I'm going to be a bit late.
Because
of the sunshine. And he was like, and he sounded really skeptical on the phone. He's like, yeah. Because he does actually talk, but what he does is miserable.
Yeah.
And very scathing.
Sometimes
and
he growls. He actually growls.
And also skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I said, I can't because the sun's coming right at me. I can literally, everyone's ecstatic here. He goes, sunshine. And now the next day
he called you sunshine. Yeah,
it's very warm from him.
Nice try, sunshine.
Yeah, nice try, sunshine. That's exactly what he said.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
I'm a massive dog lover, right? You know that.
Yes, you are,
that. Yeah, there's two things I like, and you know that I like dogs and gyms.
That's right, yeah. Gyms and dogs.
If I might get a dog called Jim.
Yeah, Jim dog.
Jim dog.
Well, you could set up your own dog gym.
What, muscle dogs?
Yeah.
Big dog gym.
Man,
it's a brilliant idea.
A really hench dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
The perfect accessory.
I'll get Jeff some like massive lats. Maybe shave him.
Definitely.
Shave him so you can see he's like
oil
really,
him up.
Really pink.
Get him a little peck deck.
Harvey, my last bulldog at one stage, and this one I was having bulldogs, at a time when, you know, I wanted to sort of liberate bulldogs from that image they had before.
Of being sort of fighting
dogs.
Yeah,
and the Labour Party stuck him in, I think it was 97, in their election thing.
Right.
Because they obviously picked up on what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
And
Cool Britannia, that was.
Yeah, right. Anyway. But it's nice that, you know, they become like that. They're no longer sort of some sort of...
scary monster.
Yeah, of the right. You know, now it's the English Bull Terrier. That's what it's the English Bulldog. That's what they are.
Yeah.
But Harvey, at one stage, when I first had him back in those days, and he had ear ticks. And that doesn't mean I ticks on his ears like a tattoo, but little ticks.
Yeah.
So I went to this vet. This vet was rubbish. All the vet did, shaved his bloody head.
You're kidding?
Aww. No, I had a bulldog. I had a skinhead bulldog. A skinhead looked mad.
Did he have little DMs?
No, he didn't. But I was walking.
And braces.
I was walking along, and his hair suddenly stopped, and then his facial hair was longer. Then he suddenly just had this bulb at the back. It just looked like he looked at me like, oh, he's actually was a weirdo,
like a monk dog.
He's giving his dog a sudden skinhead. Just to emphasise it, out of the way. Yeah.
Little pair of tight jeans.
Yeah, a little bit tight. No, I'd love to get him some tight jeans. I'd love to get Jeff some tight jeans.
Little cherry DMs.
Anyway, look. Frankenstein pups, right? This all started with those awful labradoodles.
Oh, yeah.
They're not awful. The good thing about them is they don't molt anywhere. That's why people like them.
They're nice looking dogs.
They're lovely looking dogs.
They're really friendly dogs.
But if you stick poodle in anything, it means they won't molt. That's why people like it in there. But their popularity has encouraged unscrupulous breeders to strive for what they call even weirder dogs.
Okay.
Without sort of worrying about the health implications. So you've got the cockapoo.
Yep.
It's about 824 quid. They lived 14 to 8 years. They were first developed in the United States in the 50s. You've got the Mai Shai. Do you know the Mai Shai?
What's a Mai
Shai? That's a cross between a Maltese and a Shih Tzu.
Okay.
They're about 600 quid. Lived for 12. They're said to be a good choice for first-time owners as family pets. These are the somewhat coming along. These are the ones that are coming along. You've got the Schnoodle.
Right.
And then you've got the Puggle, which is a pug and a beagle.
Right.
But unfortunately, they're creating Look, this one guy said, it drives me nuts. People are paying this kind of money for a dog that is essentially a mutt.
Yeah. It's a
essentially,
mongrel.
Yeah, that's essentially what you're getting. But they're sort of, they've managed to up the price. I mean, this is a lot of money. My mum's dog passed away, so I've been looking at dog prices. I can't believe how much they've gone up. She wants like a, I don't know if there's anyone out there who can supply me with a decent border terrier for her.
Yeah, well, are they just a border terrier?
It's just a border terrier. She's really expensive now.
Wow.
When I bought her last one, well, she bought her last one for, I don't know, about 300-400. Like 700 quid now.
It's just doubled.
It's mad.
That's
anyway,
weird.
Sorry, that's just my own little whinge. But he says, it drives me nuts that people are paying this kind of money for a dog. It's essentially a mutt. The woman behind all these complaints is Miss Bernstein. She's president of the 141-year-old Californian care charity SP Cala. She says it's the high price of cute. And it's really bad because they're starting to get...
Designer puppies.
Well, yeah, but she says that the dogs are being manufactured all over the world. Literally manufactured now.
Do you know what I'd like to see?
What?
A St. Russell.
Oh, man, a St. Russell. They've got these huge breeding farms. They're literally like factories. Do you imagine that?
Have they?
Like, literally, well, we could, for instance, if we decided to go with your St. Russell,
yeah,
we'd have to have a massive factory.
A giant Jack
Russell.
Literally
just coming out on conveyor belts, puppies of them. Giant, excitable, vicious puppies. What do you have on his neck? A little miniature. A wee miniature of Bales.
That'd be so funny.
Anyway, Sunta, what do you think? Would you ever get one of these hybrid things?
I'm not really a dog person.
Right, I won't talk to you then. Thanks, Sunta. Thanks for that.
Radio X.
Okay, I changed from the advertiser because I just remembered it. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were telling me that in their office on a Friday, right?
Yeah.
And this just occurs to me now and it's brilliant. All right, I've checked it with Big Si and everything.
Go on.
That they sneak out after lunch, because generally the boss starts to sort of leave on Friday and everything, and suddenly it just becomes the weekend. It's just, no one actually says that's your lot.
I think on Fridays, bosses' lunches start about 11 a.m.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right, anyway, the deal is, because they don't want everyone in the office, because obviously there's some real bores there, to join them for a drink.
Right.
They've worked out a way of staggering it, so just like people are sort of going off in like...
Oh, just ones and
just
twos.
Just two's probably going to prep.
So, and then they all secretly
meet.
Yeah,
and then one more will go out looking like they've got to pick up something at Boots. and they all end up in a pub.
Sure.
They sort of go,
no, we're just probably going, no, we're going to have a very good.
So it ends up with like, because we...
That's going to go to the post office.
No, there's nothing worse than when you do get the office drink and you do find your, you know, you just do want your tight crew, don't you?
Just the six of
and
you.
And sometimes it can expand. Yeah. I don't want to sound like I'm... Anyway, all I'd like to know is about some of your Friday exit strategies.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Your escape strategies for Friday. So many people know when the boss is going, like, it's off 3 o'clock and that's that.
Yeah.
Or they'll organise their last sales meeting at a sort of carpet showroom if they're in the carpet game, say, near their house.
I used to work with someone who always had like a 3:30 meeting on a Friday out of the building.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's going to take an hour or so. And then by that point, well, it's almost five. So there's no point in coming back.
But all over this building, you can see those strategies working.
Yeah.
People, sort of, especially everyone here, gets a laptop.
That's right.
Because that means really how, you know, that's a meeting.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go, it's good actually because we're going to go and we
can do that off site.
Yeah. Right. Work remotely.
Yeah.
Some of the escape strategies I've had at places I've worked, the best one, I used to work in a clothes shop.
Yeah.
Because that's a miserable time. 6:30 on Friday, like, especially you've got to work Saturday as well. You're like, come on. What I always used to do is just go and check up to see how things were getting on down at the tailors.
Off-site.
Yeah, off-site. I was going to pick up any trousers that were there. Yeah. But while I was there, it doesn't matter because the shop's shut now. Because thing is, our boss at the shop used to think it was a half-hour walk.
I think
they were unsure as to where the tailors were. It's about four doors down.
As soon as I'm thinking,
people would say, you're going to be about half an hour, they're going to be quick though because I know it's quite crowded down there. You get down there, there'll be no one. You realise every single person who's been there before has just lied. It's just part of a grand tradition.
Yeah.
Anyway, your Friday escape strategies, please. Have you managed to get out early?
Post office run and the cash in run.
Yes.
I used to work in an off licence, taking the cash to the bank.
Oh, man.
Post office run, always stopping
always,
Greg's.
Always good.
Yeah.
Get this. Rob in Birmingham, he does the old says, Johnny, thank you for writing in, isn't it, Rob? The old leave the jacket on the back of the chair trick with laptop open. Go to lunch, don't come back till Monday.
Who needs that jacket?
I mean, it's quite Route 1, Rob.
You need an extra jacket with you, but you
I love the extra jacket.
That's fantastic.
Brilliant. Yeah. In fact, everyone's just going, is Rob still? No, I think he's...
Well, he must be working late.
No,
he stays in till 9.
I can't believe Rob's still here. Where is he? I don't know. You get to big enough offices, no one knows where everyone's gone.
No.
Also, I've been telling work my wife is struggling with pregnancy. So in about 3 months, I'm going to have to steal a baby and find a wife. That's Luke in Manchester. Clap that in because that's a ballsy call, Luke. Wow, you must be really anonymous at your work. Seriously, you're like a stranger there. They don't know you're married or anything.
That's a brilliant one.
That's amazing, Gav.
Matt in Welling says, "Hi guys, my van is tracked." And I can't leave any of my sites until 5. So on a Friday, I drive to the one nearest to home and then get a bus home and leave the van there.
Nice!
Or go to the pub.
If they're going
to
track the van, track the van. Don't track the man. Thank you very much for that one, certainly, Matt in Welling. Organise Ideas Workshop suggests Ava. Thank you very much for texting in, Ava. Organise Ideas Workshops on Friday all day. Book it out to 5 in everyone's diaries and then claim at 4 you've all worked hard today. We deserve to finish early.
Love that.
Everyone is covered in their diaries, and as Ava finishes, see ya!
See ya!
Ava, it's a work of genius. Gav, next one. This is Ian. Thanks again, Ian. Beautiful.
Ian says, I work for an access company that supplies suspended platforms to the construction industry. We get a suspiciously high number of breakdowns on a Friday afternoon.
I bet you do. Thank you so much for all your great escape strategies. Keep them coming in, please. 83936. If we haven't got time this week, I'm sure you'll be doing them next week.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about us. Get them to download and subscribe, rate and review. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk and someone else will handle it. Radio X.